The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Legal Show on WWDB Talk 860, sponsored by BridgeMed Legal. Co-host is Larry Schreiber. How are you, sir?
Good morning.
So, Larry, you have one of the biggest tailgates in the city of Philadelphia. While we're waiting for our attorney guest, what were your thoughts at a game this week?
I was absolutely livid.
Livid.
And for me personally, I have no problem with being aggressive. I actually like it. I'm much happier when the head coach is aggressive, but you never take points off the board. That is the cardinal rule. You never take points off the board, and that's exactly what he did. So as far as I'm concerned, when he doubled down on it yesterday and he said he wouldn't change a thing, I think that's somebody who is not being honest with himself and not being honest with the fans. Because at the end of the day, we all have eyes, and I believe it was 9 points that I think he mismanaged. Now, I don't blame the Eagles. Let's just say their minor collapse. You know, the fumble that Saquon had was absolutely, he was touched and down, and that was a 7-point swing, if not even more, because we could have scored.
I attribute that. This sounds funny, to karma. Like, in other words, we got a head coach that's flipping coins. He's not even flipping coins, man. Like, I when in the middle of the game, okay, and I don't like to be, you know, the prototypical, Philly fan and all that stuff, you know. But it's absolutely ridiculous that this man could actually put his own team alone, after everything he's learned, I'm going to, in a position to lose that game. Like, that game, the player, this is, when I think about it, okay, I think about people like you, I think about the thousands and thousands of fans that spend their hard-earned money in those stands. I think about the players who work so incredibly hard, okay? All the other coaches, to put themselves in a position to win. They do their jobs, and this guy's out there. Decisions, okay? That, you know, I think of the owner, and I'll say this. He trusted with an NFL franchise. It's like a loaded gun, and he's making decisions out there that are counterproductive to anything that anybody, you spend your hard-earned money, and you have worked incredibly hard. You build up, you got this fan base, this group of people in the hundreds that go to the tailgates. It's a big celebratory thing. And even though it's fun and all those things, life is short, and so we have to pick and choose where we're at. Okay, I know it sounds a little serious, but guess what? This guy's out there. He couldn't have screwed it up anymore if he was throwing the game.
Could have lost.
We were one play away from losing that game. If we lose that game, he's in my, you know, if there was justice, since this is a, he should have been fired before he hit the tunnel.
Yeah, I have a feeling right now Howie and Jeff are kind of at a I don't want to say an impasse. I think that the question is, when do you do that? Do you take a team that's 6-2 and you upset the apple cart? Because, by the way, we saw how that worked out with Patricia.
Oh, here's the thing. I get it. No question. But he blows one of these games, okay? And, you know, he's doing this against these teams that are, you know, they got issues, right? And he's got a good team. We got a lot of good things happen. I mean,
let's focus on the good things. And to me, the good thing is the defense. Well, I mean, Saquon Barkley and that move could have been one of the greatest of all time.
I was watching it with my wife, and I was a running backs coach in high school. That's my favorite position. I played the position. And I said to my wife, that is the greatest move I've ever seen in my entire life. By the way, you know, you look at Barry Sanders and all those things. It wasn't really a move as much as it was a physical. It was a physical move, okay, that feat that I can't imagine any human being, like, I mean, to really look at the greatness of that move, you have to look at these defensive backs who are the greatest, some of the greatest athletes.
Dude, in the history. He was like 6'2". I mean, he was not a short player, and he jumped over him.
Just nuts. Was he 6'2"?
6'1", I think. Somebody said 6'1". That's what sticks out in my head. But nevertheless, even if he was 5'10", dude jumped over him.
I mean, absolutely nuts.
So, you know, the other thing that I wanted to mention is that unfortunately, Elliott has been a little shaky this year, which is kind of a concern because he used to be so automatic. And, you know, you would have no problem him going out and doing a 55-yard kick, but he's missed a handful of them this year. And it just happens to be, you know, unfortunate. But I do believe that, you know, I think he'll, you know, get into shape.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I think. And we got Joe Russo, our attorney, who just walked into the house. And so I want to welcome him in. And we're going to comment on that just to update Joe. First of all, welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Thanks, Joe. Good to see you.
Larry Schreiber here.
Larry, hello.
Good morning.
Sorry about being late. Election day.
No, I
was in a 3.5-hour line to vote this morning, so it's all.
My wife and I voted. Good for you.
It's funny. My wife and I were in our neighborhood, and thankfully we at 11 o'clock we were able to, you know, beat the line. But that they said the lines were around the block, and we're going to get into that, of course. But big Eagles fan.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I was at the game Sunday.
Okay. So was Larry, and got to go to Larry's tailgate.
All right. Nice.
About some of the things. Now, Larry, Joe, we're talking about a lot of things. Larry's on the kicker now. Now, let me just say why I think Elliott's having not the best year, okay? Because he's like the Maytag repairman. Every time we should be kicking the damn ball, he's, you know, we're going for it. Everything backfired on Sirianni. We got plenty of time to jump on all the good stuff, but I want to throw a couple things at you because we blew them out the other day. Okay, you mentioned the kicker, you mentioned the kicker, and Elliott gets out there 50, but this, you know, like we're kicking when we should be punting, we're going for it when we should be kicking. It's just been to me. I have such little faith in Sirianni. That I'm distraught. I want to.
Sunday was a particularly rough day for Sirianni. Every
it felt like difficult.
Every single decision he made seemed to backfire on him that day. But
everyone.
Yeah.
Let me.
But some didn't necessarily make sense. I think to most of them. You know what I mean. Most of the fans and stuff like that.
I think most of the national media.
Well, look at the national media. Like
they are destroying him.
Yeah, and rightfully so. This guy. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. But one of the things that I think we all have to be honest with each other is mm-mm. 2 years ago.
This show does not require honesty.
We don't talk honesty here. But think about it. 2 years ago, he still was doing aggressive things.
He was.
And it was working out. And it was and things do not age well. If you remember when he was mugging for the camera on our way to the Super Bowl, you know, for a handful of games, he was obnoxious, and the national media and most of the other teams couldn't stand him because he was just cocky and brash and obnoxious. So that works great until you start losing games, and that works great until your calls end up blowing up and almost costing games. So the truth of the matter is, winning solves a lot of things, even you know, bad call plays. The truth.
I agree, and I think it's a little bit I was just talking to somebody the other day about this. I think it's an Eagles organization philosophy with this analytics and overly aggressive play. I mean, I know it falls on Sirianni as the head coach, but even if you date back to Peterson, I felt like they push it on their coaches.
Okay.
And sometimes, like you said, when it works, back 2 years ago, it seemed like it worked all the time. It looked smart. It looked progressive. You know what I mean? Now it's like, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? It's not making.
Well, I'm going to jump on that for a second because it's very interesting that you make that point. Okay, that was my next, and I haven't heard anybody say this. And we talked about it yesterday on the air. And man, I have been really distraught in the fact that when you talk about the analytics, and like he said, how it worked, I want to throw something at you that is shocking that nobody brought this up yet. Yes, it has worked. But Milan, Goddard wasn't in, and Jason Kelsey is no longer there, so our guard is playing center, and we have another guard there. If you look at our statistics on that, probably 90% of our statistics are go hand in hand with the personnel in the game. So you gotta look at, you're doing the tush push. And we do not have the same personnel.
I think I saw this stat. I think it was like last year, maybe 90% this year. I think
it was it's like down 92, 93%.
Yeah, it's down to like 72% this year. It's not as effective anymore.
Just like Joe said, when you have, you know, a change of your offensive line and injuries and retirement.
Oh, my God.
I think that is the cohesion is not as quick. They are not as quick to the ball. They are not as quick in cadence to get off the ball.
Well, maybe Cam, what's his name?
Cam Jurgens.
Jurgens isn't as quick to get down under. And you know, one thing we all know is that Kelsey was you know, so like he, you know, as small as he was for a center, and he was a you know, not, he was 290 for a center, okay, which these days is, and you're playing against absolute monsters in on the defensive line, you know, you know, his quickness got under, and then you got the two bookends, Johnson and Malata coming hard, and then you have Cam Jurgens on the right guard. And you got what's that?
Yeah, you have Lance, you know, playing.
Oh yeah,
you know,
so and then you got the back, and then you got the running backs pushing, and we got a stronger running back, and so everything. But when you take that out, okay, when you take that personnel out, you know, you got.
I agree, personnel, but also I feel like they started to overuse it a little bit. The defense has also started to
100%
adapt a little bit, right? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
When for the first year, they didn't know how to protect it. They didn't know how to stop it. And now they all realize what they have to do is they have to submarine. But this is why the Eagles are trying to run plays off that.
They don't really work a lot because you have the edge rushers boxing in, and he can't get out there. So in other words, the edge rushers aren't really the big factor in stopping it up the middle. So they just, you know, them trying to work off it and fake everybody out is not that easy.
I have two words: naked bootleg.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Of course, I'm a genius.
It's a high school type play. Which, by the way, when I coached, I would be
one of my favorite plays.
It's one of the great plays of all time. Although, you know, the NFL is the players are so fast, you know. I would like to say one thing to the two of you. I'd appreciate it. We just agree with me and we just move on.
Well, the one thing I'll say real quick, and Larry, I can tell you're not a big Sirianni guy, but I did hear the stat today. He is 40-19. So he does win.
No,
we'll give him that. I disagree.
But he has talent.
Well, they're true. They're a talented team.
But what if
Howell? I have my issues with him as well, but
he does win.
Yeah. He wins.
Yeah, I get it. But what do you think? You know, but think about Jeffrey Lurie and Howie, right? They're probably sitting there going, we're winning. You know, they're putting this team together.
In spite of
Sirianni.
Listen, here's the thing. Maybe he is a great coach during the week, and he is a good game planner, and he's got good, and he does a lot of things wrong. I think you just said it. Maybe he's standing in his own way because he's not the calls he's making. Like you're right. Doug used to do that a lot of that stuff. But Doug, you know, the thing about Doug was he would do it in scary times and all that at midfield and stuff like that. But he wasn't completely at reckless abandon.
Yeah, he knew it felt the situation better. It felt like a little
First
bit.
First of all, right? You never take points off the board.
No, I agree.
That is a cardinal rule.
Not only that particular one.
They got stopped.
Right, but not only that, like you're saying, taking points off, but you're going up three scores as opposed to two, which that really made it completely.
And they had 28 yards or 30-something yards in the first half.
But exactly. You're not playing like the 2022 Chiefs, you know what I mean? Yeah,
you have to take gambles because you need to put – points.
No, exactly. They already gave, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's situation. You got, analytics are okay, but I feel like you got to situational. You can't just say this is what the analytics say.
I'm 100%
off the, you know, off the sheet.
You know that, and now we bring our kicker in to kick a 57-yard field goal, which he can do no problem. But the pressure, all the pressure in the world's now on this guy, and he knows his head coach is getting fired if he misses.
It would have been interesting if they lost on Sunday.
Interception,
Bill. Bill
that would have been absolutely atrocious. Yeah. I mean, that would have been something in your worst nightmare, because the city is, you can tell when the Eagles win, the next day the city is bright and sunny and everybody's nice to each other.
Oh, yeah.
When they lose, it is, don't look at me, don't pick up the paper, don't listen to the radio. The city's attitudes change so dramatically on an Eagles win and loss.
It does.
It would have been that much worse for Sirianni.
Guys, had he brought his kids into that press conference, I think I would have went nuts.
Yeah.
I was going nuts.
He doubled down on it, though. He was not shy. He's like, I wouldn't have done a thing differently.
Well, guess what? Who was the coach that said, was it Glanville that said, you know what NFL stands for? Not for long. And, you know, I took it personally a couple of weeks back when the guy on that morning show, okay, was calling him, you know, I didn't like it, even though he was right when he was calling him a clown show because he was yelling at the fans and all that. Let us fight ourselves out. It's like you're from South Philly, Joe. You know, you and your brother fighting on the corner. I go to break it up. I'm getting my butt kicked.
Yeah. You know, we like to handle our own business.
That's right.
Yeah.
So let us deal with our own guy and let the guys in the other room on 97.5, let them talk about it. But I don't care about now. There's no defending him after this week. To me, he imploded. Like, we were watching a guy who would have been 5-3 with the record of 39-20 get fired and find a way to get fired. It was, I'm going, this is actually happening.
Yeah, the decisions were that bad. I know, and it seemed like he was just spiraling, one after another.
Oh, it was like chasing it, yeah.
You know, we also have another dumpster fire to talk about, which is the Sixers.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten, I haven't really paid as much attention, but,
it's not great. It's not great for the people who have to pay full price and the two superstars, at least one of them is being, you know, load managed to some degree.
Paul George made his
how did he do it?
I heard last night.
Missed the last two shots. Yeah,
he missed the shot to tie the game.
He did.
But I don't even know how he played. I
think he was 4-14 from the field. They said one from 7 from 3.
Oh, so good.
Not the best debut, but I guess a little rusty.
What are they doing? What do you call it? They're managing them?
Load management.
Okay. Here's the one thing I did think
one
about.
One in five now, though. I don't know how long
our tickets get load managed?
Yeah, could they get discounted?
Put them on
the
Cheers team.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing I thought about that. It came off the top of my head, because we came off the World Series and all those things, and a lot of times, okay, especially, and Bede's a great example, we need no analogies. Okay, this guy is going to be judged on his ability to win a championship, and when I heard it happen, of course I didn't like it, but as season ticket holders, I get it. I totally get it, right? You know, there's not a Phillies game, getting your tickets a month and a half early, and then it's the one day Harper's off, right?
Exactly.
So, but here's the thing. You know, he probably is going, he can never make it to the playoffs. And he's probably going, you know what? I want to be load managed because I'm going to be judged on that last game anyway. And I agree with you, but I'm just saying. And
no, maybe it's just a thought, try something different. It hasn't worked the other way. I mean, I've been an Embiid fan since the beginning, but in the end, he just hasn't come through.
He's a world-class talent.
Yeah.
But the other real issue is the last two playoffs, he had his face broken.
Oh, yeah.
He's played with a bad meniscus. Right. So he is, people say what they want about him. When he plays, he is 99% of the time. There's times I've seen him take games off and he doesn't hustle. But somebody his size who dives on the ground the way he does.
Goes to the hole.
And he plays hurt.
He does.
So he's a warrior. I don't think he's an Allen Iverson warrior.
No.
Ran through walls and never complained.
Yeah, you could say what you want about AI. There was never more of a hustler in the history of the game. And I'm not saying Embiid a warrior. I mean, he was a freak show out there at times. I mean, if you look at, and we're going to get into a little bit of something like Larry said, the good things about the Eagles. We'll get into the law in a couple of minutes, but
could talk about it all, Joe.
Right,
the election politics. Right. Well, maybe we shouldn't talk about that, but
no, it sure is a tumultuous time in America.
I just can't wait for it to end.
Yeah, I think that's the majority. Everybody's just waiting for it to be over.
100%. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll show everybody. You know, I'm sure we all got them, the text messages that you get. Geez. Tomorrow, I'm calling everyone. It's Joe. I just thought I'd like to talk. I mean, you know.
Can you run some of that money back my way?
Well, not just that. I'm assuming you like me, right? And so that's why you called me. So now I have some free time.
Yeah, you got more time now to talk.
Listen, how you doing? How's the family? I mean, it's...
Donnie, when are we going to lunch?
You said your name was Bob. I mean, Bob. Yeah, I got time today. I didn't have time amongst the 82, and it's just the bombardment. It's one thing about all these, the games, I am not going to miss the, I said to my wife, I said, I had my mind made up who I was voting for today. And then there was this one commercial.
Yeah, that's
and she looked so good and she was voting for so-and-so. I went right. That's why. That's right. You know, you get it.
My kids are 9 and 7. They got the commercials. They're repeating. They've seen them so much watching during the shows. They're repeating.
I feel like it's like Brewster's Million. Do you remember that show?
I do remember.
It was a movie, Brewster's Million. It was Richard Pryor. He was a pitcher. And he was like a minor league pitcher that had to spend like a few million dollars over a certain time period, and nobody could know what he was doing. And then he did something. He ran for, I think, mayor of New York, and his slogan was, "Vote none of the above."
So none of us are going to miss being bombarded. In today's day and age, if you're, if a commercial or a text is making up your mind, then you are not in tune to what, you're all
your
about.
Your issues.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I've said the same thing.
I voted for the candidate who was ready to fire Nick Sirianni. That's what I based everything. I did not care about my paycheck. I didn't care about anything else. I thought to myself, what do you think? I think we should give him another chance.
Well, I saw Trump the other day was criticizing the NFL's new kick off rule. So that gave me some.
Well, he's got some.
He got some points, right?
Right. That is. I mean, guys, that's.
It's complete. Truth be told, players are bigger, stronger, and faster than they've ever been. So those guys getting ahead of steam, and I mean that. By the way, I don't know the statistics, but I would. Do you think there's more kickoffs being done now or more touchbacks being done now?
Well, more touchbacks, but here's what I think. The one thing that's missing from that, just move the kicker back 10 more yards. Then you're getting – now you're meeting both your objectives. You have the kickoff team that isn't running 65 yards down with a full head of steam. They still can't and they still can't go until he catches the ball. And they're only running from like 35 yards out, so they
can't
get – just move them back.
Joe, smart Anahan.
And make it harder to kick a touchback.
Like
you said, they're kicking the touch. They're still kicking the touchbacks anyway.
Move it back.
Probably at the same rate as before.
Yeah, I mean, and
I got to speak to Goodell about getting you on the committee.
Larry sees the talent I have. I mean, it's a great thing.
For years. Your wife is lucky.
Not really what you normally say off air, Larry. But that is what I'm, and the onside kicks, right? They're big, awesome. Now, you can still call for an onside kick. You can say, bring everybody, we're going to onside kick.
Yeah, you got to announce it in advance, right?
You got to announce it in advance. Somebody ought to just do it.
Well, if you remember, what game was it? Oh, I think it was the Ohio State game where the kicker drilled the ball and it hit and the Ohio State player, it was 10 yards away and it drilled him in the chest and it bounced back to him.
I think
it actually bounced to the kicker.
Right,
and he recovered it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you're right that the players are so much faster and bigger and stronger, and so it's no question. You don't want to get guys hurt. You got to wonder what guys like Jaworski, looking at the rules today, you know, he used to get drilled. I mean, they used to call him, I think it was either Wilbur Montgomery or Jaworski that Bill Parcells, you know, admittedly called Timex, you know, takes a licking and keeps on ticking, you know, like, I mean, getting drilled in the back and
yeah, well, now he has CTE.
Yeah, I know that.
I'm not saying him personally, but the guy is. It's unfortunate. So many players.
What I'm saying is, imagine him watching the game, going, "Man, if I only could have had that, where they couldn't hit me like that." I also think when you talk about a lot of these quarterbacks getting paid a lot of this money before they prove themselves. I mean, the kid from Green Bay, when he played us over the last couple of years, I mean, ate us alive. He was incredible. He was a young guy. Before they prove themselves over time. Okay, now he's making the stupidest plays imaginable, and that a lot of it has to do with, in my opinion, you know, when you get out, you get a lot of young people, quarterbacks, that get out there and they start off really good because they don't know what can happen. They don't have the demons in their back, you know, yet. And then once they realize and they start thinking, "Holy cow, they're going to be," you know.
No, you're right, Dave. And Trevor Lawrence, the Jaguars quarterback from Sunday, he got a big contract too. Look, he struggles.
$50 million. Okay, I don't begrudge you. Just don't take it out on the families. Figure out a way to get your own money.
And like you said, some of them half a season, maybe one full season of actually playing good in there.
Well, I think the Giants did a great job. I think they signed Danny Dimes to.
You know what's funny? You mentioned that.
By the way, or Dak.
Oh, God,
Dak is the highest.
He said
player.
We suck. Did you see him? He said we bleep.
I know.
That's not the leadership you're looking for. It's funny though. You mentioned that Daniel Jones, and I'll tell you why. Because he, what I saw when we played him, to me, it wasn't as much him as the lack of offensive line. That guy has zero
running
chance.
For his life.
Running and anybody see Hard Knocks with the mm-hmm. Giants?
I watched a little of it.
Did you see when they didn't resign Saquon?
Everybody saw that.
Okay. Well, you know, I would never after that, and it could, you know, I mean, I would never let them, in, you know, get in my war room for the rest. I mean, you're in there and you're making comments.
Family business. You're listening to family business.
Family business.
Behind the door, family business. I can't believe they allowed that.
That was a little surprising, some of the stuff they showed. I know. Because usually they're usually very secretive in the NFL.
How about the TikToks or the reels when you see the owner of the team going, "Man, I'm going to lose some sleep if I find out that Barkley is going to Philly, and here it's worst case scenario.
His nightmares are coming true.
Welcome guys, home.
Guys, it's the same thing, you know. Same thing. If people had microphones when we pregame for this show, we hate every other medical provider and we hate every other attorney. We could never let people know what Joe Russo. We're just kidding. But having said that, you know, and you know, look. The move, you know, Larry and I talked about, you talked about the good things. You know, we did say we would talk about a minute about them, but, you know, the Saquon's move to me was the greatest move. I mean, it wasn't a move as much as it was an athletic feat.
He's been great.
How about Devontae Smith? Great.
Oh, my God. Hey, yeah, Saquon's catch.
Or Dotson.
Dotson had the nice.
Dotson sighting.
His first play he made since he's been here.
Literally.
It was a hell of a...
Last gasp was in Washington.
Yeah. Both of you guys... We're at the game. Did you guys hear what they said on TV about Dotson or whatever? He had 36 yards receiving his whole year so far. He's 37. Had 35.
On that one catch.
What is up with that guy?
Well, he has to be targeted. The truth of the matter is he is not getting targeted.
No, he's not.
Maybe he's not getting open. I can't speak on that. But he's not. If you don't get targeted, you can't get opportunity.
Right, to have him look. Yeah, that's what I thought. Right, is he not getting? Is he not? Is he not having problems picking up the offense? Maybe something like that. But you're right. That doesn't seem like Kurtz is looking for him for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, you look at Hurts and he's been holding the ball a lot. But you know, they show on occasion they'll show the other view and you could see the guys were covered. Like in other words, you know, it's not. You know, that window is so short.
Yeah.
You don't really know what that window is. Okay, you don't really know what that window is when you're watching a quarterback because you can't see the receivers all, you know what exactly what's going on. But a couple times they would show them, and you could see that there was.
And I think the rookie defensive player of the year, our boy Mitchell, he is.
Let's not forget that.
By the way, I love Cooper. Cooper DeJean, I think, is phenomenal. I think our corners are going to be locked down for years to come. It's like Lito, and you know, when we had everybody, we had, you know, Eric, we had Lito, we had Vince, Troy Vincent. But what I truly believe is that with Blankenship, I think they have a really, really solid core now in the backfield, which we haven't had in 10, 12 years.
No, it's been a while.
Let's see N'Kobe Dean finally step out of his show.
Yes, sir.
He's played well. And the other linebacker, Bowen.
Oh, Bowen.
He's been great.
Like what?
I know. No. Like nobody, thought he was a special teams player, right, when they signed him.
Yeah.
And he had like the first six tackles.
He's going to the Pro Bowl, that guy.
Yeah. Deservedly so.
He's had a great year so far.
How many years do we have him tied up? I don't even know.
He's a one-year deal.
Oh.
So they were already saying they'd maybe try to
sign him now.
Yeah, sign him now before he get free agency. Yeah. Which would be nice.
Oh, yeah, no question. Let's do this. Before we go to commercial, you know, Phillies, we haven't talked about them. But one thing that was disturbing was to see their general manager sit there and go, you know, they want to sign big stars. I really think you got to invest in your bullpen. You know, you got to do it. I mean, in other words, guys, the teams with the best pitching staffs win.
Yeah.
I really think we got to go out and get a shutdown bullpen, and don't get me wrong, we had one for the first half of this year, but it, you know, it's just a reminder. You know, I mean, the teams that are going to look at the Dodgers, I mean, they were just shut down.
Yeah,
and with everybody going for home runs, the batting averages are down. All those things.
The sad thing about the Phillies bullpen, though, like you said, they were good most of the year.
The bullpen was all year.
Yeah, and then the playoffs came and they imploded. Our boy
Hoffman, he had the first implosion.
Yeah.
He did. It's obvious. So my point is they undervalue those positions, and Estevez probably he showed a lot of brilliance at times, but
he was okay.
He's not made for Philly.
A lot better for his first team, the team
he was.
Yeah,
he's not made for Philly. He was okay.
He wasn't
the dominant guy like you're talking about, Joe.
I don't think he's back for there. Philly. I think that's what happened. Let's take a quick break. We'll have more from the Legal Show on WWDB Talk 860 in just a minute.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with a VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
From the personal experiences that shaped you to the accomplishments that shaped the world, every moment of a veteran's service is meaningful. At the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, we ensure those moments are never forgotten. For 25 years, the collection has made the experiences of U.S. military veterans accessible to all. Veterans, now is the time to share your story and make our history more complete. To submit your stories, photographs, and documents, visit loc.gov/vets today.
Hello, Rob, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Legal Show on WWDB Talk 860. We're sponsored by BridgeMed Legal. Our co-host is Larry Schreiber. We got Attorney Joe Russo in the house. Let's talk a little business, fellas. If you would, Joe, a little bit about yourself and the firm, my friend.
Thanks, Joe. The firm is Russo Law Firm, LLC. We're located, two offices right now, one in Center City, Philadelphia, 1550 Market Street. The other one is down in South Philadelphia at 913 South H Street. And general practice, I do a lot of PI. That's probably my bread and mill. As I came from, as you know, a PI firm, Christopher Giddings. We were trying to get up here today as well. He's tough to
pin him down.
Yeah,
at this
get
point
him down,
in
right?
His career.
Right. So, and you know, he specializes in just PI. So that's still kind of my main. But I do, you know, some real estate. Some estate work, even some criminal, lower end stuff on the criminal end. So,
you grew up in, where'd you grow up?
Yeah, South Philly. Born and raised in South Philly. I'm still in South Philly. So high school was St. John Newman.
I'm not going to hold that against you there, Joe. I mean, I'm not saying it's not typically when you can't get into Roman, you go to Newman or Prep. It's just the way it is.
Wait, were you a Roman guy, Joe?
Of course. I was a Penn Charter guy at first. They nicely asked me to, exit the building. There was security behind me. I was only a freshman at the time. But, we had... It was back then the Catholic League was Southern Division. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, the traditions were there. All the I remember I single-handedly put Bishop Newman in the playoffs by fumbling. It was so amazing.
Was that the start of your cheerleading?
It was the last game of the year.
But you did do some work for Newman later on, right?
Oh, no, I did coach baseball.
I remember you telling me you did some.
I love it. I coached baseball there 1 year, coached football at Roman for a handful of years, two separate times. But, love the Catholic League. Certainly, and that grit, we're going to get into being a Philly lawyer, and I want to get into that. Let me ask Larry, remind our listeners a little bit about what you do and
So I have been in the medical legal space for over 30 years now. And 30 years. And
you're 27.
Yeah. but this latest business that I'm involved in is called Bridge Med Legal. We represent about 350 attorneys in about 7 states. We place their clients with well-experienced medical offices that understand the med legal space, specifically billing and the intricacies of the type of practice it is, because traditional medical is a completely different animal than personal injury or workman's comp.
That's right. I can speak for that. That's 100% correct.
And why is that, by the way? Because and I've heard the stories about people trying to go to their family doctors and all that.
Actually, you are spot on. Actually, the reason that we have grown so fast in the last year has been predominantly because I also do a lot of networking, but, from firm to firm. There's a lot of attorneys that want to start seeing different type of work. So I build relationships with firms. So they can refer back and forth to each other. And one of the things that I've learned with being in a gazillion meetings with attorneys is that they realize when their clients are left to their own device and they go to their general practitioner, for treatment. Number one, their general practitioner doesn't have a clue about the billing and how it works, specifically with the $5,000 cap for MVAs.
The PIP.
So there are so many different intricacies on how you have to bill and what type of documentation that attorneys need to help prove cases. So they could be treating just traditional rehab and physical therapy, but if they don't get diagnostics, how are you proving your case? And if you don't do it at the right time, you're going to show a baseline for improvement or personal, or permanent disability. So what happens is a lot of the attorneys are now realizing that they have to become active and help facilitate not treatment plans per se, but treatment with specific types of doctors that understand the space.
Talk about the network of what type of doctors in the network.
Thank you, Joe. So that's great. We deal with everything from chiropractors to rehabilitation centers, physical therapy, neurologist, ortho, pain.
Specialists as well?
Yes, all the above. So we have a well-rounded roster of medical practices that understand and deal with attorneys on a regular basis.
So when you talk about that, talk about your role. Like, a lot of times communications can be difficult and reports and all that stuff.
So
that can be frustrating for attorneys.
Yeah, it's funny with being friends with attorneys for 30 years, you understand their pain points. So the biggest pain points I hear on a regular basis is, Larry, I'm sending all this work to ABC Medical Company, and I feel like I have to beg to get reports. I have to beg to get final bills, and we take all of that off your head, because our relationships are rock solid for years and years with a lot of these physicians. So it's easier for me to pick up a phone and say, hey, Dr. Smith, you know, Attorney Jones has been trying to reach out to your office and he is beyond frustrated. He doesn't want to use you guys anymore if you don't start, you know, helping him with this, you know, getting him the documentation he needs for his case. And most of the time it's one phone call for me or my staff, and the doctor usually understands the severity of it, and some of the times it's their staff that doesn't even bring it to their attention.
And as an attorney that does PI, Joe, that's so valuable. What Larry's talking about, it's just so valuable. I mean, I run into some cases sometimes where you do get clients who have gone off on their own, have gone to their own doctors, and I mean, which to an extent is fine. You know, you don't, if a client wants to go somewhere, but just the issues you could run into later on in the case, and just getting the record, Larry, you were saying about getting the records, like, If you don't know the doctors or don't have some type of relationship with the doctor, you could wait months, and it's such a headache to get medical records these days. It's unbelievable. So having that connection with the doctors and stuff like that just makes the attorney's job, you know, that much.
Yes, sir.
I've heard at times, and I actually, it's funny. It was a show years ago where one of the attorney asked me to, you know, we were doing the show at his office, and he, you know, we. So I was waiting, and he had kind of a between, two waiting rooms, one for his clients, and then, you know, he had meetings and stuff. And so he had kind of in an area where his staff was, and then we went into to his main room, his boardroom. And I heard him say to a client, you know, I just found out you're not treating, and this case was coming up. And he said, are you still hurt? And the individual, I could hear the guy say, yeah, I can't move my whatever. And he said, well, why aren't you treating? And he said, well, I'm having a difficult time. I'm depressed and all those things, and I just can't get out of bed. And I heard the attorney say, and I happened to be there, and but I couldn't help it. It was quiet. And he said, well, no case, no treatment, no case. How's the jury or the judge or the company, whatever, how could they know if you're hurt, not going for treatment? Talk about that, if you would, Joe, and how important, I guess you would call it compliance.
Well, yeah, well, just like you were saying, Joe, I mean, to prove a case, you know, it's a part of any personal injury case, you have to prove damages. You know what I mean? If you go in front of a jury or stuff like that, if you don't have medical records to back up what a client's
or
saying.
Or gaps in medical records.
Or gaps in medical records or stuff like that. If you don't have that to back it up, you can't prove damages. You know what I mean? That's one of the, that's what they say, law school.
Diagnostics.
Yeah, four steps of a negligence case. But damages, yeah, you got to prove damages.
So but does that happen on occasion where, you know, like in other words, why would somebody stop going to treatment? Unless they were better, I get that.
Right, well, different reasons. Like you said, in that guy's case, he was just saying he was depressed. But I mean, sometimes it could be that they're not, the fit with the doctor's not right for them.
You know? 100%. Yeah. 100%. What we do is we make sure it's geographically convenient for the person.
That's one of
because that is huge. Because the last thing you want to do is send somebody to a doctor 25 minutes away and they've just worked, you know, a full day and they're physically and mentally exhausted. They don't want to sit in traffic for 20 minutes, half an hour. They want to make it convenient. So what you do is you have to find somebody that is within very close proximity so they can be seen so they can treat on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, you know, they might go for 2 to 3 treatments a week, you know, to help them get over, you know, or get stability, whatever the case is. So if you What happens is this, they over time
what if they
will
don't
come
have transportation?
Less and less.
What if, in other words,
20? Great question.
Okay, 10 minutes is one thing, but if you got to walk there.
All of our providers have either tokens or they do medical Uber. So
medical Uber.
Medical Uber is great. And it's basically they send a driver to your house to pick you up. So it's wonderful. Where they have their own vans. So transportation is something that people in the med legal space usually provide. They will also provide, you know, translators. There, if I tell you how often it is, specific areas of Philadelphia, and Jonah, this is completely a neighborhood. This is a city of neighborhoods. So you have, you know, Cambodian, Vietnamese, you know, Greek. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of them feel comfortable going to physicians that also, you know, can speak to them one-on-one in their native tongue. That's important. And if not, it doesn't always happen that we can help set up translation, which is paramount.
Yeah,
that's the same for lawyers, though, right?
Yeah, that's important.
I mean, in other words, you know, you may have a service or something like that if somebody doesn't speak English. How does that work?
Well, you'd have somebody in my office. There's we have a translator that could do a couple different languages. You know what I mean? To help the clients that don't speak English, so we do have that.
Let's talk about your practice. You're in the community, okay? Talk about that. Where your office is at?
One in Center City, one in South Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that community feel knowing the area and having those relationships.
Yeah, no, South Philly's and since I started out 17 years ago, South Philly's kind of been my base as far as where most of my it's kind of spread out a little bit more than that, but yeah, it was always my base. You know what I mean? You become almost like a neighborhood type of lawyer for a lot of people, and then your name kind of gets spread out around there. So yeah, a lot of my business initially and even today it was that word of mouth. I don't do a lot of advertising like some of the bigger firms out there. I don't have a billboard or anything like that. So
it
a lot of my
insane.
Referrals and word of mouth, which to me is the most important,
most valuable one.
Yeah,
ones.
Most valuable. And then you're doing a good job
for
somebody.
Your referrals stick.
Yeah.
Not only do they stick, they just exponentially get better because the more you do for people, it's the word of mouth
it's
is
credibility.
The best business.
Yeah, agreed. And that's
relationships in your world and where you're, in Philly and South Philly are everything.
The relationship aspect, yeah. That's why even when I worked with the Giddings firm before I went off on my own, even though we took mostly just PI cases, I still had the ability to take other cases on my own. Like I was telling you, some smaller stuff. But that to me is how you build the relationships over 100%. Time. That's how, you develop the relationship with the clients. Then they're going to come back and use you when they do have a car accident or a different, something else. So that's a big, that's to me, that's really important to build those relationships.
When you talk about personal injury, okay, what is that? Give a list of what that means to people.
Personal injury.
Auto accidents, but go down to different types so people understand.
I mean, auto accidents, slip and falls is another big thing with personal injury. Any type of case in general where you actually get, where there's some type of injury
due to somebody else's negligence.
I workers' comp, which is different from personal. I don't do a lot of workers' comp on my own, but that's when you get hurt at work.
But you could still have a third party case, right?
You could potentially have a third, right? If there's a third party involved, if you get hurt at work, you can't sue your employer directly. That's how it becomes a workers' comp case.
Right.
But if there was a third party that was involved, that was the negligence leading to why you got hurt at work, then you could have a case outside of
When I talk about a third party case, when you talk about work, workers' comp is a no fault. So if you accidentally hit your own hand with a hammer, okay, you're still eligible for workers' comp.
Right, correct.
But if, for example, if you dig a hole, okay, and you fall in your own hole, that's workers' comp. It's not anybody's fault but yours. But if somebody else digs a hole and they don't put caution tape around it and you're walking with the crane, in the we call it the hole where the core, then that could be – that's due to somebody else's negligence, right?
If somebody – well, yes. Yeah,
somebody from another contractor.
Exactly. Somebody outside – right. It couldn't be your employer. If somebody else dug that hole and you were on the job site – and they didn't do it properly. Yeah, that would be the third party, right?
Joe, what could people expect when you represent them?
Well, Joe, one of the big things I'm is patient with the clients. Just because I've seen some other firms, and that seems to be an issue I always hear with clients and attorneys, especially with the bigger, sometimes with some of the bigger firms that happen. So I try to give personalized service where a client could always get me. I give out my cell phone numbers to clients. I want them to know. Because clients sometimes, you don't necessarily want a client calling you 24/7, but you know what I mean? But clients sometimes 1 to 2 minutes, just give them an update on what's going on. So that's one of the big things that which I kind of sell a little bit on my firm outside of.
So I don't mean to cut you off, but what you said rings so true. And I'm going to tell you why I know, because we deal with so many different attorneys and we place so many cases. One of the biggest I get calls from medical offices on a regular basis because I deal with some of the guys that advertise, you know, all over the place, you know, radio, TV, billboards, etc. And those guys do not have the personal touch you just spoke of.
Yeah.
Because what happens is I get calls from the doctor saying, hey, Larry, you might want to tell ABC Law Firm that Mr. Jones is livid because nobody returns a phone call. He doesn't know where he stands with everything. He can't get emails replied to, and he's leaving. And then I go, uh-oh. So then I call, you know, the firm, and I'll be like, you have an issue. You have a client who's about to leave you because you guys are not responding in a timely fashion, yada, yada, yada. And more times than not, we're able to salvage that.
Yeah, you step in to help it.
But what he speaks of is he doesn't get those phone calls because he shows love and respect back to the people that he works for.
Yeah,
what?
I get it from sometimes a firm's perspective. You know, they get busy, these bigger firms. A lot of these firms do high volume cases.
Sure.
So I don't want to necessarily call my firm a boutique firm, but, you know, a smaller firm, I guess in general, a smaller amount of cases, but you know what I mean? I have more time to spend on each case. And like I said, I could be a little bit more personalized. Well, I think with a smaller firm, that's kind of goes to my advantage. Yeah. And it benefits for clients as well.
Let's talk about, you know, somebody might be listening to this and really to both of you and the out of pocket costs. Okay. I'm not talking about for criminal cases because I know that's a totally different ball game. But when you talk about personal injury cases, what's that situation like?
Fee. Yeah, so personal injury cases, it's a contingency fee, meaning, you know,
no out-of-pocket costs for the
client. No, the clients don't pay anything until the end of the case. And it's only if they attain a settlement or a judgment or a verdict or something like that.
So it comes out of that.
It's a percentage that would come out of that. Yeah, they're never going to be paying anything up front, which obviously is advantageous to the client. All the risk goes on the attorneys. We take the risk.
Because I just had, and also if there's experts, I had an attorney not long ago on the broadcast that said to me, you know, I mean, dabbling in those areas, is, you know, like in other words, somebody must have done landlord tenant or something like that, and they did a favor for somebody, and that person, that somebody comes in to see a real personal injury attorney and asked that personal injury attorney if there is, if they have to pay for the expert again.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it was a tragedy, that person. It's not, you know, you got to really make sure you get the right attorney. So, you know.
Yeah, and all costs, right, just to go back to that. And any costs that are involved in litigation, like you're saying, if you have to pay for experts, right, the clients are not being charged that
right.
Up front. Like I said, their clients are not putting out any money on these, specifically these personal injury cases until the end of the case.
Right.
And, you know, there are times where, well, we lose. You know what I mean? There are times you lose. Unfortunately,
and that doesn't come out.
Like I said, no. That's, I mean, the attorney. You know, that's what we do. We're taking.
Thankfully, that's a rare occasion. Yeah. Thankfully, but you know, same thing. Like in other words, people, when it comes to these type of cases, okay, they're not expected with the medical situation to come out of pocket either.
Correct. About that. Physicians. You know, in motor vehicles specifically, there's a $5,000 cap in Pennsylvania. So what happens is there is a bucket of money that is set aside for each person. A lot of times that $5,000 cap will be exhausted, and there'll be monies that are owed, and they are basically letters of protection where the attorney says, I will protect, you know, your bills. But a lot of times the bills are absorbing it to some degree, and there's negotiations, but it never really, nobody balance bills. Nobody I deal with ever balance bills, meaning that the person will be, the patient will be responsible for the bills.
Well, that's another reason why you know, talking about earlier, going with doctors that know this.
Yes, sir.
Deal, you know what I mean? Because they know in the end how to
Navigate waters.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever run into a situation, Joe, where you find yourself explaining to a doctor or whatever, you know, this area of medicine, you know, if somebody went to, for example, their own family doctor or something like that, what's that conversation like?
Well, to the doctor or client, you mean?
No, a doctor who may not understand, you know, how this area works.
Yeah,
like they don't get paid up.
No, right,
they're
right.
They're not invoicing the personal insurance company.
I guess it's somewhat difficult if the doctor doesn't have any idea to completely educate them. I mean, we could try, but it's difficult. Like you said, it's important.
Is it important to being from Philly? Is it important? How important is it to understand the city? Okay, especially when you're going in front of a jury. Okay. What kind of benefit is that?
Yeah, Philadelphia County is its own animal, I guess you could say. I mean, I've experience in the counties as well, but
what's the difference in the representation, at least in front of a jury?
Well, I mean, the general theory is that Philadelphia jurors could be more more advantageous to plaintiffs than some of
which I've heard.
Yes, than some of the counties are. So, but they're. Knowing that stuff, it's good for the attorney to know that, to take that into account when you're talking settlement or is it worth it to bring a case to a jury trial. I think knowing where you're at is where the advantage comes in if the attorney understands.
Joe, contact information if someone wants to get in touch.
Russo Law Firm, 267-251-4040. And like I said, that phone number gets directly to me. You get me on the phone. You don't get
website?
Website is www.russoslaw.com.
Awesome. And Larry, contact information?
609-332-0428, or you can reach us at www.bridgemedlegal.com.
Awesome. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Legal Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank Joe Russo for being our guest, Larry Shriver for being our host and making it happen. Of course, Tyler in the producer's booth. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.